Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. So Glenn and I played trivia last night, and I'm all fired up. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'll answer it at the end. So the question as asked was, on Ted Lasso, when Ted first gets to England, he asks, how many countries are in this country? And the way the trivia people phrased the question was, how many countries are there in England? Name them. Again, pay attention to the phrasing. How many countries are there in England? And name them. I'll talk about this at the end of the podcast, but let's do late night. Trevor Noah likened the Demopocalypse to the Game of Thrones infamous Red Wedding episode. Spoiler, it doesn't end well for some of the Game of Thrones guests. Yeah, the Democrats had a bad night on election night. Deadline tells us Trevor covered the Minneapolis vote on whether to replace its police department. Trevor lamented that those seeking opinions from the black community always go to one place, the barbershop, and not the grocery store or other establishments. Stephen Colbert said, so it was a disappointing night for Democrats, but Democrats are used to being disappointed. That's why they're changing their logo from the donkey to Eeyore. Colbert, some of you might be upset by the results, but don't panic. Save your panic for climate change. That's a good joke, but it's not funny, man. Trevor Noah. But the bigger loss was Virginia, or as it's known by its full name, East West Virginia, because Virginia has been becoming more and more Democratic for years. They voted for the first black president and the first blackface governor. So good, Trevor. And what is especially shocking about this result is that Joe Biden won Virginia by 10 points just a year ago. That's a huge swing, people. That's like Kim Kardashian going from Kanye to Pete Davidson. Colbert, here's the thing. Maybe I'm alone. I'm not that upset. I've already endured the worst election in American history. Live on TV, sitting over there, drinking a cocktail of bourbon and my own tears. This one just seems like another election. Oh no, Terry McAuliffe didn't win. Will the Republic survive our post-Terry future? Jimmy Fallon said, yep. Republicans haven't been this excited since they realized that you can print fake vaccine cards off of Google Images. Jimmy Kimmel talked about the QAnon event in Dallas the other day. Did you see this thing? I was talking to friends about this and I just shake my head. The illiterati gathered by the hundreds because they believed JFK Jr. and JFK Sr. were going to reemerge and reinstall Donald Trump to power because obviously the Kennedys would be big Trump fans. Colbert, of course, JFK Jr. died tragically 22 years ago, so at this point, any announcement from him would be pretty big. Colbert. Now, some of these folks also believe JFK Jr. will be seeking office soon based on their t-shirts suggesting JFK Jr. would be the former president's running mate in 2024. Makes sense. Kennedy died over 20 years ago, but he's still more lifelike than Mike Pence. Shockingly, JFK did not show up in Dallas due to his chronic case of not alive. But the QAnon crowd didn't lose hope because rumors began to circulate that JFK Jr. would instead appear at a concert by the Rolling Stones that evening. Come on, guys, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need, which is medication. Colbert on fire here. So the concert happened and JFK Jr. was a no-show, some QAnon believers walked away with a new theory about his father, that Rolling Stones guitarist Keith Richards is, in fact, President John F. Kennedy. Okay, that's crazy. Kennedy would be 104 years old, and Keith Richards is clearly way older than that. Jimmy Kimmel, who would be more insulted, Keith Richards by people who thought he was 104-year-old JFK, or JFK for thinking he was a 77-year-old Keith Richards? I don't know. Kimmel, it's crazy that people actually believe this. I mean, if you're going to believe that a band is the Dead Kennedys in disguise, wouldn't you assume that band was the Dead Kennedys? Oh, what a great set of jokes. It should be a good Saturday Night Live this week. Kieran Culkin, star of Succession, is your host. Ed Sheeran, your musical guest. Today's news, for some reason, is all about television, so something a little different. If you came for the Chappelle, I'm going to disappoint you today. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will debut its record-breaking 15th season in December, December 1st, to be exact. According to the press release, the gang will try to exploit pandemic aid, sidestep cancel culture, evade criminal justice, reflect on their origins, and reconcile their identities and homeland roots, and they're going to Ireland in the 8-episode season. The gang stands at a crossroads in this strange new world. The rules are changing quicker than anyone can keep up with, despite Herculean efforts from Mac, Dennis, Dee, Charlie, and Frank to continue business as usual. Now they must face the music and decide who they'll become in the cultural upheaval that is 2021. Across the span of 8 episodes and the Atlantic Ocean, we find them answering in a way that they can only think to. It's Always Sunny was renewed for 4 more seasons. It'll run through at least season 18. That is awesome. From Deadline, TBS has picked up Kill the Orange-Faced Bear. This is a comedy starring Damon Wayans Jr. I like this premise here. Wayans stars as Hank, the charming, funny, and grieving man who's hellbent on tracking down Brenda the Bear. You know why? Because the bear ate his girlfriend. Sarah Silverman is the voice of Brenda the Bear. Yeah, there's not actually a bear. This is animated. Sarah Silverman as Brenda, the sarcastic, badass grizzly bear who attacked and ate Hank's girlfriend. Hey, Sarah, you remember you protested Joan Rivers? I'm protesting this. I don't know why a bear cannot voice this role. You're acting like acting is acting, where you pretend to be a character that you're not. So if Catherine Hahn playing Joan Rivers was Jew-faced, to use your term, you're putting on bear face here. I am officially protesting Kill the Orange Face Bear. From Deadline, half-hour multicam project A-OK is set at an underdog internet company in pre-AOL 1991. A-OK is about a group of young and mostly idealistic entrepreneurs who work together, hang out together, and fall in and out of love with each other, all while trying to change the world and holding up a mirror to ours. One of the suits told Deadline, "This specific period of time is personal to many, including all of us involved, so it's important to make the show feel as authentic as possible. We're excited to reimagine the 90s sitcom through a modern lens. We hope to surprise people in a familiar place with characters you fall in love with." I don't know, a 90s era sitcom on CBS? I don't know about that one. No. More TV. NBC will air original episodes of all 5 of its comedy series during the week of December 13th, that ahead of their regular 2022 season premieres. The 5 shows, Young Rock, Keenan, Mr. Mayor, new shows, Grand Crew, and American Auto. Are you excited? You want to hear the episode descriptions? All right, Young Rock, we know about Young Rock. Keenan, we know about that. Mr. Mayor, I liked Mr. Mayor a lot. So did the wife. That was one of the We Watch It Together shows. Let's check out these new ones. American Auto. From the creator of Superstore comes a new workplace comedy that takes the wheels off the automobile industry. I want to throw up. Who wrote that? Set in Detroit. Oh, yeah, I remember this one. The corporate executives of Payne Motors are at a crossroads. Adapt to the changing times or be sent to the junkyard. Oh, my God. Did you try to force car metaphors into your copy? Jesus. Shaking things up is the new CEO, whose leadership experience and savvy is only slightly offset by her complete lack of knowledge about cars. Luckily, her team is some of the best minds in the business when they aren't fighting or trying to outwit each other. From the corporate office to the factory floor, the crew of Payne Motors is driving home the laughs. Ugh. Anna Gasteyer stars. Can we just cancel this now? I'm canceling it. Grand Crew also premieres Tuesday, December 14th. Let's listen to this one. A new comedy that proves life is better with your crew. This group of young professionals are all trying to navigate the ups and downs of life and love in LA. And they always find time to gather at their favorite bar to wind down and unpack it all. There's Noah, a hopeless romantic too eager to settle down. Nikki, a go-getter in real estate who's adventurous in romance. Sherm. Sherm is a low-key genius who plays the dating odds. Anthony, whose true love is his career. Wyatt, who's relieved to be married and out of the dating scene. And Faye, who's recently divorced and looking to start fresh in LA. And just like wine, their friendship gets better with time. Oh my goodness. Nicole Byer, Justin Cunningham, and a bunch of other people star in this one. All right, good luck. So NBC, you heard what I just read back to you about your own shows, right? So don't be surprised when you read in Variety, Peacock struggles to take flight amid low demand for its TV originals. Yeah. Craig Moffat, who's some sort of investment dude, says the investment community has concluded that Peacock is simply not on a trajectory to become one of the major streaming services, and they're going to have to do something dramatic if they're going to change that narrative. I don't think Comcast has shown the willingness to invest in that business at anything like the scale that Disney or Netflix is investing. I think most observers have concluded there's going to have to be a merger at some point. Their most popular original series this year, according to research, is Dr. Death, easily outpacing offerings such as Rutherford Falls, Girls 5 Eva, and The Lost Symbol. So I was trying to remember what is on Peacock Comedy. Oh yeah, The Office. Remember they made a big deal? Remember people used to watch The Office because it was on Netflix? Nobody mentions The Office anymore. It's become invisible. How about the original Girls 5 Eva that had Tina Fey behind it? I thought Tina Fey, everything she touched just turns to gold, except Girls 5 Eva. Ed Helms' Rutherford Falls. Remember that? No, you don't. You don't even watch it. We Are Lady Parts. I liked that. I watched the first episode, but the rest of it was behind the paywall, and Peacock has not enticed me to open up the wallet yet. And then, really shocking to me, I guess they don't care about AP Bio at all. So I went to the Peacock website under comedy. AP Bio was six rows down where the alphabetical stuff appeared. You know, all the shows with A, all the shows with B. AP Bio is six rows down on the same row as Al Madrigal, Shrimpin' Ain't Easy. That's how important AP Bio is, apparently, to Peacock. So that means nobody's watching that. Like, nobody. How buried is it? Even the old George Lopez show. You know the old one? That one's in row four. AP Bio buried in row six. Although, to be fair, also in row four with George Lopez, Saturday Night Live. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Palace Intrigue. What's that? That's the podcast about the royal family. 5 minutes a day about the royal family. And it's like actually 5 minutes. I know this podcast is supposedly 5 minutes and then 10 and now has suddenly become 20. Palace Intrigue is actually 5 minutes about the royal family. I write it. And what we do is we cover what's happening with the royals. But what that really means is we goof on Meghan and Harry. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. From Variety, The Simpsons turns into a prestige TV crime thriller. It's a two-part episode called A Serious Flanders. The Simpsons has gone Simpflix with a two-part episode, A Serious Flanders. A Serious Flanders was inspired by the TV adaptation of Fargo. The plot, when a ruthless debt collector comes to Springfield, Homer and Ned's lives are sucked into the artfully violent world of prestige TV in part one of a Serious Flanders episode of The Simpsons airing Sunday at 8 Eastern. You know, and don't forget, stick around, because really, Bob's Burgers is real, and it totally exists, and is going to air an hour after The Simpsons. You keep the channel on Fox, and you show me that Bob's Burgers is actually on your TV. I defy you. Two questions. Have you ever seen Bob's Burgers? No. Have you ever met anyone who's seen Bob's Burgers? No. Some Simpsons guy said, we want to do all the tricks that these cool streaming shows get to do. Flashbacks, crazy time jumps, the feeling that anyone might die. It's all the tricks of the trade, but also very cool kind of story. We have scenes that build tension or make fun of the idea of building tension. Part 2 airs November 14th with the description, things for Ned and Homer go from bad to gosh darn worse in the stunning conclusion of this Simpflix prestige crime thriller. I like that they're making fun of this. A suit says both half hours are like six episodes of a 12-episode series. Have there been two-parters in The Simpsons? I guess Who Shot Mr. Burns was sort of a two-parter. That was more like a season-ending cliffhanger, if I remember. I don't know. There's so much Simpsons. I'm never going to catch up. At the nursing home, I guess you can just put The Simpsons on TV and I'll sit there for 10 years. I wonder who hosts this thing when I'm there. From Chortle, the BBC chief says comedy should not play it safe. Tim Davey wrote for the Daily Telegraph and he warned that in the UK, they're risking developing a climate in which debating issues and sharing views is seen as simply too risky. We need to ensure that genres such as comedy are not neutered by a desire to play things safe. We all know there are limits and that a routine fueled by gratuitous unpleasantness is unfunny, but we should not be fenced into limited creative spaces where no one can take any offense. Now, if you like making fun of George Lopez tacos, and who doesn't, let's make fun of Jessica Seinfeld salads. I'm a big fan of Chopped Salad. I'm on their email list, and wait to hear this. Chopped Creative Salad Company announced the release of its new spicy vegan crunch salad in partnership with Jessica Seinfeld. Sure, why not? Chopped and Jessica teamed up to create the delicious salad timed to the launch of her new cookbook, Vegan at Times. Spicy vegan crunch is made with customer favorite chopped blend, romaine, sweet potatoes, avocado, quinoa, pita chips, and your choice of mama's little pickled peppers or pickled red onions, tossed with a spicy vegan tahini dressing and sriracha. Jessica gave a quote here, but I'm going to read it as half-assed Jerry Seinfeld impression. Half-assed Jerry Seinfeld impression, as Jessica Seinfeld says, when I wrote my new cookbook, Vegan at Times, my goal is to make it easy and accessible to eat vegan food. This is why I'm so excited to partner with Chopped on the new Vegan Crunch Salad for the month of November. When I eat vegan food, I feel better. I have more energy. And it feels good to do better by the animals of the planet. The Vegan Crunch Salad at Chopped is the perfect on-the-go option and is hearty and flavorful, so you won't miss meat or dairy. All right, it's almost time for trivia. First of all, I added to Good Pods in the Mentioned on Daily Comedy News playlist, Beard Owl. That's right, Beard Owl. They talk about beer and Weird Owl. Beard Owl. I don't know how good the podcast is, but premise alone, thumbs up for me. By the way, I logged in this morning. Daily Comedy News was number one in the stand-up category on the Good Pods app. So go to the Good Pods app and, you know, download an episode or two and help me game the charts. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. Know what I mean? If you do have Peacock, Joelle Nicole Johnson's Lovejoy debuts tonight. And back to trivia. Remember the question. Pay attention to the phrasing. How many countries are there in England? Glenn and I wrote down one. The answer, England. We were told we were incorrect. The trivia master said there are four. Now, had you asked me how many countries in the United Kingdom, I would have written four and said England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland. But you didn't ask that trivia guy. You asked how many countries are there in England. There is one, and you cannot convince me of different. Glenn and I were robbed of trivia, and I'm mad about it. Follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Pods. You know, you might want to rig the charts and download a bunch of episodes. You know what I'm saying? It's nudge, nudge. Say no more. Wink, wink. See you tomorrow.